Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
You know, it's not supposed to be this easy. In fact, it's not supposed to be easy at all. Winning the NCAA tournament is supposed to be one of the toughest things to do in all sports. Winning a game in the tournament is a very, very difficult thing to do, much less winning six. So if that's one of the hardest things to do, then doing it back-to-back is supposed to be damn near impossible. Just do not tell that to UConn, because they still can't even find a competitive game. Right now, UConn is making one of the toughest things to do in all of sports look like one of the easiest things to do in all of sports. Honestly, they can't even find anybody to play them tough in the NCAA tournament. And I'm talking about over a two-year span. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Kind of ridiculous,
Ricky. Sir, in all honesty, it's unheard of. Last night was a title game rematch from a year ago. And I said before that game, I've got a lot of respect for San Diego State. Let's just hope this game is more competitive than last year's Natty. Never, ever in doubt. You know, just like the title game last year was never, ever in doubt. Just like none of these Husky tournament games seemingly are ever in doubt. And I say that as somebody who's got a ton of respect for Coach Dutch and his Aztecs. And there is no shame in not being able to match up with the Huskies, because nobody can. Nobody can match up with the Huskies. That is now 9 straight tournament dubs for UConn. By a combined average of 22.8 points, their average margin of victory in this tournament is just shy of 29 points. They've trailed in this tournament for a total of 28 seconds. I mean, that's just stupid. After the game, Dan Hurley explained the crazy dominance like this.
So that's 9 straight tournament wins by an average of 22.8 points. What, when you hear that number, just what is it hard to believe? Or it's not supposed to be this easy.
I mean, we suck at winning close games. So, you know, you got to go with the alternative.
Yeah, I don't know, Coach. I don't know. Somehow I doubt that. I don't doubt you ever, never, ever. But I doubt that you suck at winning close games. Granted, I've got no idea, since you never actually play a close game. That's what you actually suck at, finding a competitive game in the tournament. You suck at that, because in your own words, you just keep blowing teams out of the tournament.
Just keep blowing these teams out this tournament too, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, just keep smacking them. Let's go. Smacking them.
Love this guy. Just keep smacking them. Just keep smacking him. Now, he's not for everybody, which I'll get into in a minute. I'm all about the guy. I love him. He said after their second round win, he said that after they hammered Northwestern, and people actually had some issue with that, like, this dude's too confident. This dude's too arrogant. This dude has too much swagger. This dude's too cocky. What? He's supposed to be nicer about kicking everybody's ass for 2 straight years? Is that what you're saying? Come on, man. Win with some class. Come on, man. Have some empathy. Come on, man. Be a nicer guy. You know what I have to say to that take? Live manual buzzer. Get that crap out of here. Stop with that. What a terrible take. I don't like that take. How can anybody criticize this dude's approach, given that this dude's approach is working so well that nobody can even give these guys a game? Again, hey, Rome, love him much? Yes. I love the guy. What's there not to love about this guy? I love everything about Dan Hurley and UConn right now. Well, all right. Everything except this one thing. Except this incessant underwear talk. I already politely asked on Monday, did we just cool it with the Red Dragon boxers? But of course, as soon as Dan Hurley found a mic after the game, he did this.
That's right. Dan's waving for Andrea because what does she have to do?
She's my wife, Andrea, who never gets enough TV time. By the way, it's always others. She's got to get the hand washer going to get these Dragon underwear clean for a quick turnaround.
Well, she did say she was going to get it going right after, just for you.
They should do it right there on the scorer's table. Why even wait till they get back to the hotel? Just take that thing with you to the game. I also like the way he's got his wife's back. Like, why is she not getting more FaceTime? Why is she not getting more camera time? Why are the other wives getting all the camera time? You know who the hell she is? You know who the hell I am? He's right. She does not get nearly enough run because the woman is a saint. The woman tending to this dude's underwear is the real MVP. I'm just tired of the amount of time that we have to hear about this dude's drawers. Imagine how much this woman has to hear about this guy's drawers. It's got to be nonstop. Any more Dan Hurley, Red Dragon boxer content, and it's going to turn me into that shrieking Grand Canyon fan.
Well, it starts with the great hands. Jovan Blackshear gets a hand on this back.
It's going to turn me into a combination of her and Yoko. If one more person, or even if my man Dan himself brings it up, and we have to get into the Red Dragons again, it's going to be me. So anyway, Dan Hurley and the Huskies and the Red Dragons now continue their search.
Gets a hand on this basketball. They got numbers, but he felt this the entire
way. Wow, Albie, even I didn't know I felt that strongly about it. So now they continue their search for a competitive game in the Elite Eight. And they may actually find one there because Illinois is no joke. And the Illini are, in theory, exactly the type of team that is built to hang with UConn if anybody can. If anybody can, it might be the Illini. Even though they're already listed as 8.5-point dogs, as well as they've played. Let me just try and make an argument for them at least hanging. For them at least not getting blown out like everybody else. The Illini have the second-ranked offense in the country, after, of course, UConn. So, in theory, they do have the firepower to try to match up. Illinois also is incredibly experienced, and they've got the jungle karma, and they check a lot of boxes. I like them a lot. That's why the head and I both picked them last night, and we got paid. Let me put it to you this way. They're one of the best Illinois teams ever for a reason. And maybe most importantly, they play without fear, as my guy Brad Underwood explained last night.
This team's got, I call it swag, but they don't fear the moment. They don't fear anything. They compete. I think competing, being competitive wins out over fear maybe. But they're also old, so they've seen a lot. You know, it's not like Draven's out there for the first time. And these guys have seen big games and really good players and big moments. And
agreed. Like I said, they check a lot of boxes. If anybody can push UConn, it might be these guys. I'm just not sure that anybody can push UConn. But these dudes might finally spell danger for the Huskies. Except in this case, danger might be spelled D-A-I-N-J-A, as in Illinois forward Dane. Danger. Great name. Dane Danger. Who was very dangerous last night off the bench. Illinois is just hoping that that keeps up and they can put UConn on the highway to the danger zone. That dude right there is a Santa Barbara guy. I like it.
Man, I am dangerous.
You are dangerous. So there you have it. Then on the other side of the bracket, playing right out there, up the road at the Crypt. We can call it the Rogues and Jano bracket.
Rogue and Low.
Because they were in attendance last night for a couple of amazing games. They got to see Clemson, put in one of the best performances in program history to get to the Elite Eight for the first time in 44 years. And they also got to see North Carolina completely forget how to play basketball. Picked a bad time to forget how to play the game, right? Not going to lie. That was a shocking end to a couple of epic Carolina careers for RJ Davis and Armando Bacot. Two Tar Heel legends who basically just had the worst possible ending to their all-time great Carolina careers. Considering I threw down on these dudes, I definitely did not expect to see Bacot blowing a critical dunk and blowing repeated layups in crunch time of a game of that magnitude. And I know I did not expect to see RJ Davis put up a 4-for-20 game in a game of that magnitude. I never expected the Heels to melt like that. Just as I never expected a West Regional Final between Alabama and Clemson. The Tide and Tigers playing each other in a basketball game with the Final Four on the line. Weird! I mean, that is something else, right? They shouldn't even have that game in the crypt. They should not have that game in the crypt underneath that disgraceful ears banner. They should move that game to the Rose Bowl where an Alabama v. Clemson matchup actually belongs. You know, winner gets the auto berth into the college football playoff. Loser has to sit through a Nick Saban lecture about how terrible college sports are now. I'm talking about my brother, Seth Greenberg. Seth, it is so awesome to have you back in the jungle. What's going on, Seth? How are you?
Ben Smack, life is good. It's a kind of a fun time of the year. You can see the finish line, and we're going to have great matchups all weekend long and right up to the Final Four. So life is good. Great to hear your voice. This is like a Back to the Future call right here now.
It is, exactly, Seth. Well said. All right, so let's get into some of this. UConn continues to destroy anybody and anything standing right in front of them. Dan Hurley's squad, do they look even more dominant right now than they did a year ago, Seth, when they ran right over everybody?
In relation to the field, maybe they are more dominant. And I think it's a really interesting study. I mean, they lose five of the top eight scorers, three guys to the NBA. They got the right pieces. Instead of collecting talent, they put together a team where the pieces fit and complement each other. And Danny Hurley is the best coach in America today. He is not afraid to coach his team, nor is most of the guys that are in at this point in the season. Think about this. Everyone talks about, you know, the players are different today. Players, you know, you got to understand how you coach them. They're going to run to the portal, this and that. Rick Barnes, old school dude. Underwood, old school dude. Sampson, old school dude. Hurley coaches his team hard. Shaka coaches his team hard and has a standard. Guys are afraid to coach their team. If you don't coach your team, you're not going to get to this point. And if you coach your team hard and that guy doesn't want to deal with that, you know what? He's not helping you win anyway. But Connecticut has been dominant thus far.
I like that tick a lot. You're right. There are old school guys, and it does still work. Seth Greenberg is joining us, and guys, still will be coached hard. Seth, so after a chalky weekend, we had some chaos last night in the West, the number one seed gone from the brackets. What were your biggest takeaways from Alabama's upset win over number one seed North Carolina?
I love the game plan. We always think about Alabama. We think about their offense and how quickly they play and the style of play, spreading the court, shooting the three, getting paint touches. I thought the game plan for Alabama yesterday was absolutely incredible. They didn't guard Elliott Cano. They didn't even guard Seth Tribble. Instead, they put their 6'11 post player, all right, with a 7-foot wingspan in the lane. What did he do? He was able to help on R.J. Davis. He was able to help on Armando Bacot. He was able to protect the front of the rim. Every time R.J. Davis came off a screen, they corralled him, kept him in front, forced a contested shot. To me, the job Nate Oates did defensively, his defensive game plan, was the difference in that game. Style of play, you can impose your style. You talk about wins against number one teams. My philosophy has always been take the other team's best player out of the game and impose your identity on the game. And that's exactly what Alabama did.
Seth Greenberg joining us. Seth, what about Illinois? How impressed were you with the way the Illini were able to grind out that tough three-point win over Iowa State?
They got matchup problems for sure. I mean, like Terrence Shannon, you know, think about what he's doing in his last seven games, I think. It's like 31 points a game, 50, 40, and 80. You let him get in transition, and it is all over. Then they invert their offense. Coleman Hawkins comes out as a five-man. He can step out, opens up the floor. They can post up their guards like Damask and Shannon and others. And then they bring in Dane Danger. He's like, you know, going to the bullpen and bringing in a knuckleball pitcher. So you dealt with Coleman Hawkins playing on the perimeter as a point post. Now you bring Danger in. He's going down to the block and trying to wear you out on the block. So, you know, Brad's got an interesting team. No true point guard. They play point guard by committee. Shannon's been a beast. Now let's see what they can do with the beast in UConn. Because if they play the two bigs together, that's good for UConn. If they play one of the bigs separately, if it's Danger, that's fine. But if they play both of them together, I still think that UConn is better. I think they'll figure out how to defend them. They do have pretty good matchups. Stephen Castle, no one talks about Stephen Castle on UConn's team. He's a 6'6 freshman. Maybe the best multi-position defender in college basketball as a freshman. So it's going to be a terrific game, but Brad's done a great job with his team, and they create problems because it's 6'6", 6'6", 6'6", and then you got Gary, who's about 6'8", and Coleman Hawkins, who can invert. So they can create, they can pose some matchup problems for sure.
That's my take. I think they can hang. I think they can hang, but I just can't see anybody beating UConn. Seth Greenberg joining us. Hey, Seth, let me go sidebar for a minute because you know the college game cold, but you also know the pro game really, really well. So I'm just going to go sidebar completely. I want to get your thoughts on Golden State and specifically Draymond Green. Look, there is no Warrior dynasty without this guy, but he continues to put himself and his team in really bad spots. What do you make of his latest ejection and his explanation and Golden State's chances overall?
You know, he's the boy who cried wolf. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Like his latest explanation, you know, the other day, and then, you know, Steve Kerr saying we're very, very disappointed. You know, like, words have meanings. Like, you know, are you going to continue to enable him, or are you going to send a strong message? The NBA suspended him for 16 games. 16 games. Go get yourself right. And he continues to behave in that manner. Look, I love Draymond Green. I love his competitive spirit. I love his toughness. I love the part of the identity of Golden State and what his role was. But, you know, you got to be better than your problems. He's not better than his problems now. To me, it's a mistake by Golden State. One, they're going to have to blow this thing up at the end of the year anyway. I mean, this run is over. So they're going to have to get younger and figure out who they want to bring along with Steph Curry, and he's got to be part of the solution. But like Draymond Green, enough is enough. I mean, really plain and simple. Enough's enough. I mean, like, I think you're a terrific player, but no means no. It's like parenting. If you say no to your child, and then all of a sudden you let your child do the same thing over and over and over again, you're basically complicit in his behavior. I mean, it's plain and simple. You know, to me, unless you take a strong stand, you're condoning that behavior. And that behavior is taken away from the identity and the culture of your team. It's taken away from your locker room. You saw the effect it had on Steph Curry the other day. It is time to basically say, you know what? We're playing for the play-in. I don't think we can make a deep run in the playoffs. Let's send a message, and then let's rebuild this thing around Steph Curry. But we've got to protect our locker room. We've got to protect our culture. We've got to protect our identity. And that's hard to say because you're going to lose a ton of money. Because Draymond Green's value is not what it was in terms of what you paid him because of his continued reaction and the way he's impacted your team. I mean, he lost you an NBA championship potentially. He's dropped 16 games. He's continued to be a little bit of a distraction. You just saw the way Steph Curry reacted. I mean, like 100% it looked like he had it with Draymond to me. I mean, I'm not there. I don't live it every day, but the optics are terrible.
I agree with that part of it. Well, no, I agree with all of it, but I agree with what you said about Steph Curry. I wasn't there. I didn't talk to him, but just watching him from afar, I've never seen his body language or his reaction to Draymond or almost anything quite like that. You could see how flabbergasted he was, how upset he was. Now, Seth, also sidebar, our friendship, you and I, it goes all the way back to when you coached at Long Beach State and your guys started that infamous brawl with my Gauchos in that Roach.
Oh, you finished the brawl. We finished it, Robbie.
You started it in the Roach Motel where y'all used to play in. All that aside, what do you make of the Beach firing Dan Munson only to have him roll right through the Big West tournament, make the big dance? I mean, how wild was that whole thing, and how awesome did he handle it?
He's the best. Damn, he's just such a great dude. Obviously, son of a coach, had an incredible year. The architect of Gonzaga basketball as we know it today. he set the foundation for where they are today. And Amar Few obviously took it to even another level with the consistency of the Sweet 16s. Having said that, you know, Long Beach State dropped the ball. And like they have, anyone has, any administration or university has a right to fire a coach if they don't feel he's fulfilling their expectation. But what you don't have the right to do is, it's more importantly how you do that. And what they did to Dan and put him in that situation, and I talked to the athletic director, so I'm not saying anything to you I didn't say to them. Like, you let him go, he wins the tournament, then the athletic director said, well, you know, I thought that, you know, we let him go before, maybe that would galvanize the team. Come on, man. You just can't do that. You just can't do that. You got to respect the 17 years and the investment he has in the university. Long Beach State is the best job in the Big West. Sorry, Romy, I'm going to say it again. Long Beach State is the best job in the Big West.
What the hell are you talking about? That is so off base. That is so wrong, Seth. And I have so much respect for you. What do you mean it's the best job in the Big West? That's absurd. That's absurd. How could you say? If you had the choice between coaching Long Beach and UC Santa Barbara, Seth, you and Karen would be in Santa Barbara on the next thing burning out of Connecticut. You know it, dude. You know it.
The Bombay Blue Sapphire tastes much better in Long Beach than it does in Santa Barbara.
It tastes like gasoline in Long Beach, but in Santa Barbara, man, it's perfect. It's perfect.
But having said that, I really thought they were awful in the manner in which they handled it. An inexperienced athletic director who's going to have to learn. This is exactly what I told them. I said, you're in charge. How you say things and what you say has an impact on others.
Seth, let me jump in. What was his response? Did he push back on that, or did he say, yeah, you know what, I dropped the ball on that. I really screwed that up.
Yeah, he admitted that he dropped the ball on it some. Yeah, he did. I think you know, when you put someone in a new situation and someone puts a microphone in front of you and they ask you for an opinion instead of, you know, basically sometimes less is more. I mean, you know, sometimes less is more. And in that instance, to me, it hurt Dan because Dan's very prideful. He really cares about his program. And just the other thing about, you know, just you didn't have to make the announcement when you made the announcement. You just didn't have to. I mean, like, let's put it this way. You made the announcement then. Have they found a coach yet? Well, maybe they have because I mean, everyone's saying the assistant coach at San Diego State is going to be the next coach at Long Beach State. And that's great. But to me, if that's the case, for sure you didn't have to make the announcement then. Let the guy coach his team. Let him leave with some dignity. And I just thought it was not handled well. But it's time to move on. It's time to move on. Long Beach State has a rich basketball tradition. And, it, you know, in all joking, I think it is, you know, if you're good at Long Beach, you're selling that place out every night.
No, it's a good job. It absolutely is a good job. And you wonder who's going to want that good job if you know your boss is saying things like, hey, I hate to pat myself on the back, but it worked. It worked. I mean, what an absurd statement to make. Really quickly, Seth, what about Kelvin Sampson? I love the guy, and his team is so tough, but they're lacking in some depth right now. They're kind of banged up. How do you think that they match up against Duke, who looked unbelievable against James Madison?
Roman, this is how I call that game. Houston is the bully on the block. You know, Houston's the guy that took your lunch money. Houston's the guy that grabbed your lunch box, took out the good stuff, threw the other stuff to the side, and said, I'm done with you. Duke is the guy that lives high on the hill. All right, you know what? Eventually, you got to go down to the bottom of the hill, meet the bully head on, and say, let's go. And that's what this game's going to come down to. Will Duke fight back? Will they attack and play downhill so they can get to the foul line and get that short roster in foul trouble? Will Duke compete on the backboards? Will they compete offensively against the ball screens that are going to be blitzed and the post catches that are going to be trapped? So, like, to me, this is a classic. The bully, what do you have to do with a bully? You got to go out of bully. If you don't react to the bully, then the bully continues to take advantage of you. And that's exactly what Kelvin said. Kelvin's team is the hardest playing, toughest team. So what do you have to do? You've got to meet force with force. If Duke does that, they've got a shot. Like, you know, Texas A&M went to the line 45 times. Why? Not because they were passive, because they went at them. If you don't go at them, they will dominate you. If you go at them, and this is like a Kyle Filipowski, walk to the middle of the right, walk right to the center of the circle, you better be ready to fight. That's the way it is. You know, let's find out who you are. If you want to be one of these great Duke players, you want to be a lottery pick, then you're ready to fight. Jared McCain, you had a monster game the game before. You better be ready to deal with Jamal Shedd because he's going to be ready to deal with you. Mark Mitchell, are you ready to compete on the boards with Roberts? because he's ready to compete with you. So my take on this thing is real simple. If Duke is ready to compete and maybe get their rear ends kicked, but if they're ready to compete, this could be a heck of a game.
No doubt.
If they're not ready to compete, this could get ugly.
They're going to get knocked the hell out. Seth Greenberg, ESPN analyst since 2012, also very, very good personal friend of both me and the show. Seth, you are the absolute best, man. Love you. Great to have you back. Get through the tournament. Get back to Cali, and we'll see you and Karen when you get here.
You got it, brother. Appreciate you having me.
So, let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. We finally had some chaos yesterday. North Carolina and Arizona both went down. Thanks for absolutely nothing, fellas. I even said on the show yesterday, I so want to take Clemson. I so want to take Clemson. They've got the jungle karma, and they're playing well, and I really want to take them, but I just can't. And then, That's what we get for being chalky little bitches. I'll own it. How about you, Head? How you feeling about going 2-2 yesterday with the picks, especially since you said yesterday you felt that today would be even tougher?
I feel good. I feel good today. I did more research, so I feel a lot better about today's pick. I'm a little nervous about tomorrow, Alabama-Clemson. I need to know if the Rome clan will be going to that game or not before I bet it. But, yeah, I feel good, man.
No, they're tapped out. They're good. They're not going.
Okay.
So factor that into your system. They will not be going back.
That was it.
One-off right there. How about Seth, man? That was fun, wasn't it?
He's the best. He's one of my favorite analysts in any sport. He's so freaking good.
And you hate every analyst in every sport almost.
Oh, dude, 90% of people I hate.
Yeah, never mind analysts, just people.
Just people. Seth is not one of them. He's so freaking good at his job.
He's so good at his job.
Everything he says on NBA, college, all of it, gold.
You know, I never forget, his brother was a longtime executive in the NBA, and he referenced the Bombay Sapphire because his wife, Karen, back when we had the Bombay Sapphire Club back in the day, she wanted in.
Bombay Sapphire.
That's funny.
So that's why he mentioned that. She's great. Great, great gal.
That's great.
All right, so let's get into it, starting with NC State and Marquette. NC State, arguably the best story in the tournament. They needed to win the ACC tourney just to get in. They did. They haven't lost since. They run into a really solid Marquette club coached by Shaka Smart, who I love, and especially this time of year. If you like Cinderella, there is a lot of value to be had here. The question, as always, how much value? Do you want it? How are you playing this game, Head?
Yeah, not only a Cinderella, but the best part of this Cinderella story is a guy in DJ Burns who went to Winthrop, Jim. So how great is that?
That is
Winthrop.
Great.
Right. Winthrop. But Winthrop, I still don't see what I did wrong there. It sounds good to me.
You never do, dude. That's your problem.
Oh, okay. I mean, I could
ask you. You've never done anything wrong.
Winthrop. Fair. I agree with that, too. Seems like my kind of pick, but I'm going to Rex Lee that. I'll take Marquette and lay the 6.5 points here.
No, no, no.
Tyler Colas.
Was that a pick?
For the Golden
Eagles. Was that a pick?
Eagles.
No, no, no. Was that a pick?
Yeah. No.
Yes, it was.
No offense. Was that a pick?
No, no, no. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Kolick, love the guy. He will be key in breaking down a Wolfpack defense that over the last four games, They've held teams under 39% shooting, which Kolek's ability to draw attention. Thank you, Alvin. That was a good one. Anyways, Tyler can draw attention. The Golden Eagles should have good looks to knock down shots. Also, Tyler should be in better shape than he was last week when he came back from injury. Dude was gassed, not like Molinari gassed. Head
Don't
out of
do
the gutter
it.
Clones,
Don't do
but
it.
Tired. Tired. Very tired. Molinari? Poulter?
Don't.
Nobody?
Don't.
Alvin?
Don't.
Alan?
Don't.
Okay. Okay.
Oh,
damn it.
Shut down.
Anyways, Marquette's magic shooting number seems to be 44. Thank you. There it is.
Idiots.
The clap, too. Shooting number for Marquette, 44% from the field is their magic number. When they don't hit that, or when they do hit that number, they're 25-2 on the season, 2-7 when they don't. Add the fact on the other end, Marquette allows teams to beat them with the three. Their rate of giving up three-point attempts ranks 338th in the country, but that's not NC State's game. Marquette minus 6.5.
All right, so I'm going to play Marquette too. They've got four guys who average in double figures. As much as I love what NC State has done, what I do not love is that they're ranked just 225th in field goal percentage defense at the rim, and they're not much better at defending the pick and roll either. So I'm going to look for Marquette to shoot lights out to fill it up, and I'm pretty comfortable laying all those points. Marquette minus 6.5. All right,
beautiful.
So we're one for one. Purdue via Gonzaga. The Zags were not supposed to be here yet. Here we are. Here the bleep we are. Here Purdue we are. Had avoided another catastrophic implosion the first weekend of the tournament to advance to the round of 16, something that absolutely had to happen. Mm-hmm. They're the obvious favorites here. They should win, but will they cover? What is the number now, and what are you going to do with this one?
You can get 5 points right now in DK, and I'm going to go with Purdue here. These two teams played in November. Purdue beat them by 10 points. The Zags are much better, like you said. So hopefully that Purdue team that showed up against Utah State shows up here. As we know, Zach Edey is the key for the Boilermakers. Ben Gregg and a dude named Braden Huff, not Brennan Huff, did a good job on the Hunter Dickinson of Kansas last week, so we got to watch that. Can they repeat that? Who's that?
Hey! Did you touch my drum set?
Hey, knock it off.
I know you touched my drum stick, because the left one has a chip in it.
You f***ing crazy, man.
Beautiful. Love that. Thank you, Alvin. Can they?
I don't.
Can,
that didn't make it better.
Thank you, can Alan. Huff and Greg repeat that against ED? If they can, I do have faith in the dudes around Zach to knock down shots. Best three-point shooting team in America, so I love that. And Purdue is a better defensive team here. They won't turn you over. Their turnover D rate actually ranks 340th in the nation, but overall they rank 15th on KenPom in adjusted defensive efficiency. If they slow down the Zags from getting easy buckets, they can slow down the Zags' offense. Let's go with Purdue to beat Braden, not Brennan Huff Zags, by 5 points, by more than five.
Five or five and a half? What is
five?
Insane.
DK,
you realize
five.
That? You should be medicated.
Yeah. F*** you, Brennan. I know you touched my drum set.
All right, yeah, I heard you the first time, Alvin. Thank you. So Purdue did what a number one seed is supposed to do. They obliterated Utah State last out. Much respect to Mark Few and the Zags for doing what very few expected them to do this season. But Purdue is a different animal altogether. The Zags do not shoot the ball especially well. Frankly, they're outclassed in this one, which is to say they really don't do anything better than Purdue does, I don't think. And I know they don't have an answer for Zach Edey because pretty much nobody does. Respect for being even in this position to the Zags, but it ends right here. I will be that chalky little bitch and lay the points as well.
Beautiful.
I'm with you on that one. All right.
Beautiful.
We win together, we lose together. All Here's right. a mother, though. Creighton, Tennessee. Great game. I don't pick games head alone or exclusively on Jungle Karma, but I'm not going to lie. It's part of the Rome system. And we did have both coaches on this week, Greg McDermott and Rick Barnes. I feel like Barnes gets more heat than he deserves. Mm-hmm. Never as much credit as he has earned. And you can't give McDermott enough credit for what he's done in Omaha at Creighton. I think the guy's a hell of a coach. I do. I mean, a great coach. Really interesting matchup. What's the number, and what are you going to do with this one?
I can't wait for this game. I'll take the 3.5 points.
I can't wait.
I can't
believe it. Even that idiot's got me doing Jungle Tourette's. That was so weird.
That's a good one.
One of the worst things that ever happened in the show, and I just did it.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's One of the best things ever happened to the show.
Yeah. I need you. Oh, you think that's one of the best things ever happened to the show?
There it is.
Then you know nothing about the show that you've worked on for more than a decade. You think
and
that's one of the
to
best
for like
things?
25 years.
I can't wait.
Wow, dude.
So bad. So bad. So good.
It's not so bad. It's so good. It's so bad. It's so bad.
For the smack of
it just doesn't
my ears
get
are
either.
Bleeding. Yeah.
Can't
stop.
Wait.
It's like Neems.
It's not like Neems.
Yeah.
Dude, Neems is like you two compared to this guy.
It's Neems from Home. Remember that one?
Oh, I remember it. I remember all of Neems' songs. Okay, see?
Yep. That's the other Neems one, though.
That dude's like the Beatles compared.
Yeah,
that's like the only context where Neems is listenable, when he's juxtaposed next to that moron.
Oh, the basketball game here.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Head the basketball game.
I'll take the 3.5 points you can get in the books with Doug McDermott and his Creighton Blue Jays.
Three and a half.
Yep.
Okay.
There's two or three books where you can get that 3.5 number. I like that. I'll take it. Tennessee needs someone to help Dalton Kneck score the basketball, and they have to have one of their better shooting nights all around, and I'm not sure that will happen. Against Texas, they went 3-for-25 from three, and Creighton defends the three ball. They also flood the action into 7-footer Ryan Kalkbrenner while not fouling. They commit 11.4 fouls per game, which is by far the fewest in the country. Not good for a Tennessee team that gets 20% of their points at the charity stripe. Now, Tennessee's defense is better. They are elite, but I have faith in Creighton to hit more shots. These guys can stroke it. Third in effective field goal, 36% from three. Sorry, Zickafers, no gun to your head, but I'd take the 3.5 points in Creighton here.
You know what, Head? You're right. You did do some additional research. You're on this thing.
Mm.
Tough call, but I really like the way Creighton plays. They've got three legitimate studs. They play well on both ends of the floor. They're healthy. They're extremely well coached. I thought they proved their toughness in coming back on Oregon late the way they did. If you get all of that and you get points and you get 3.5 and you can find that, I'm taking it. I'll take Creighton plus 3.5.
Love it.
Man, I'd love to disagree with you, but you know what I thought? Before we get into this, I thought that Seth Greenberg's take on Houston and Duke and that analogy that Houston's the bully and they're waiting to rip your lunch off every single day and they take from the lunch what they like and they throw the rest of the crap away, and then Duke's like that kid coming off the hill, the rich kid in the big house, and what's going to happen when they come down? Are they going to let them take the lunchbox or no? I like that analogy a lot.
It's a great analogy, especially when you see John
Don't you butt Seth Greenberg.
No, I won't. Because if you look at John Shire, remember when they had that court storming freaking issue?
That storm courting, yeah. You remember that? Well, what we really have to do is put an end to all the storm courting.
Yeah,
the storm courting. There was a time and place for storm courting, and now is not it.
Point being, John Shire looked like a rich kid in a fight for the first time ever. Like, he was shocked, right? It was like, oh, dude, it's not really that big of a deal, but you made it like a big deal. It's like the rich kid talking bleep and then...
Right. The rich kid's got to come down. And is the rich kid going to come down? Yeah. And you know how to deal with a bully. You punch a bully in the face.
Or you get scared like Shire did there and be like, oh, my God, overreact and, you know, call your parents to come fight for you at school.
Wow, dude, that's harsh. That's pretty harsh on Shire.
Go back and look at the footage.
I'm just saying it's harsh. And JMU is not the bully. So,
no, they're not.
So we ran down Kelvin Sampson, and we know they're tough as hell, and we know he's got jungle karma. Unfortunately, his team is a little run down, a little beaten down. They don't have a lot of depth. But he is one of the toughest individuals I know in or out of that sport.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't give a damn about how they're feeling. He believes in his guys. They have a culture. He built a monster. You remember what they were like before he got there. And Duke, what can I say? Suddenly Duke is Duke, and they're playing better than at any point this year. What is the number? What do you have? What are you going to do? Suddenly Duke is Duke. They're the rich kids on the hill.
They are that. Houston's favored by 4.5 points, and either way, I'm going to lose this pick no matter what. The Cougars have been my Minnesota Vikings to you, so probably not a good pick here, but Seth nailed it. And it goes back to last year. Tennessee punked these guys in last year's tournament. They had all offseason.
Certainly Seth is Seth, and his guys started a fight with the Gauchos, and they did not finish it the way he said.
Where was that fight at?
The little Roche Motel. That was in Long Beach.
Was that pre-Larry
Pre-Pyramid. Pre-Pyramid. They played in this little box, this little band box that was like 150 degrees, and the fans were right up on the players on the floor. And he had some dudes who were pretty tough. I mean, don't kid yourself. The beach is the beach, but he had some dudes that were pretty intimidating. and they let the hands go, and there was a fight that night. And that's literally how he and I became friends. I got on the air the next day and was talking all sorts of junk about how his guys started this brawl, and then he wanted a piece of me, and we talked it out and became really good friends.
What an amazing time. What an amazing
time.
Oh,
it was great. It was so fun.
And
it was great. And his guys did start that brawl, but to his point, they finished it.
They can fight now. Don't mess with those kids.
It's the beach, dude. It's Long Beach. LBC. Yeah.
The opposite of Duke kids, or for the most part, outside of Mark Mitchell. I think that guy can throw, actually. Duke's the more skilled team. I'll say that here. They have weapons. Kyle Filipowski. He can score inside out. Jared McCain is averaging 22.
Yeah, what about that dude?
Points.
What do you think? Really quickly, do you think he's going to be the dude to come off that hill, like Seth said, and stand right in the middle of the floor and say, "Here I am, man. Let's go."
Cooper Flagg probably will be next year. I'm hoping Kyle can maybe a little bit. If he can't, maybe Mitchell or McCain can. They're tougher than they were last year. Is my
Kowski.
Thought process? Yeah.
Philip.
Yeah, he's. He's a tweener for the NBA. He's a 4-5 guy, but not.
Yeah, we don't need to worry about that right now. We need to worry about this game.
I know, but dude, it'll be interesting. It's literally the matchup here. If he can handle it or not. I mean, Seth nailed it. Couple other things you like about Duke is their assist to turnover ratio is elite, which is important against Houston because the Cougars turn you over at an elite level, like we know, and you have to move the basketball around to get that D working side to side. Also, I'm going to say Houston is not a good shooting team. They rank 233rd in the country in shooting efficiency, and they
They're the only team I would say this about. I don't even care that they don't shoot that well. Even though it tends to be pretty important to shoot the ball well in basketball if you want to win.
Yeah.
But with Houston, they just find a way somehow, some way.
Yeah, they do because they hammer the offensive glass.
Yes.
And they're just tough and physical. And
yes.
Against a defense that's not great in Duke, that's your freaking worry right there.
Impose their will, man.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Blue Devils and take the points.
I was just going to say, dude, I've been listening to this whole thing, and I have no idea which way you're leaning.
I'm going Duke 4.5. Give me them.
You know, this one's tough. I love the Cougs, and I hate picking against my guy, Kelvin. But I still can't believe what Duke did to James Madison. Granted, that was James Madison, but I respect them. But, dude, they were up by 42 at one point against them.
I know. They're good.
And we know what Houston's going to do. They're going to D the hell up. They're going to hit the glass hard. They're going to grind. They're going to battle. I just don't know that they've got enough firepower and that they're as versatile and they can put the ball in the hole. I feel like I'm betraying my dude, Kelvin. I hate to do that because we have such a good personal relationship. But, as you like to say, this is business. I like what I'm seeing from Duke. I'm not saying they're as tough as Houston, but I think they're tough enough to not only win, but to cover. I will lay the points also and roll with Duke. All right, so we're on the same page on all of them, Head. We win together, we lose together. Either we're going to have a good weekend or a bad weekend. Run it back since that was such a chaotic segment. Who do we have?
Marquette -6.5 v. NC State, Purdue -5 v. Gonzaga, Creighton +3.5 v. Tennessee, and Duke is Duke +4.5 v. the Houston Cougars.
All right, Head. Great job. Thank you very much. Appreciate the energy.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate the prep. That's the big
Let's
Head. Let's make some money. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I'm talking about Jalen Johnson. Jalen, great to have you on today. How you feeling?
I'm good. Jim, how you doing?
Good, dude, good. All right, so let me ask you, there's been a whole lot of change and turnover in the roster in Chicago. Having said that, how good does it feel to know that that deal is done and you know where you're going to play for the next several years?
Oh, so it's great. I mean, just being able to have that stability, of course, is definitely something that that's the reason why we play the game, just to have stability, be able to set our families up, set our lives up just for the future. But, I mean, definitely excited to go into this season, being able to play free, go out there and just try to win like I've been trying to do since I came into the building, just trying to continue to add value to the team, add value to the organization, but ultimately go out there and try to win as many ball games as we can.
Jalen Johnson joining us. You know, business is business, right? So when they use that franchise tag, inevitably guys don't like that because often what that means is it's a one-year arrangement but doesn't necessarily include the long-term security that you're talking about that would come in the multi-year contract. Were you concerned at all, or did you know that something was going to get done even after you got tagged?
Now, the tag was obviously just a part of the process. I think it was something that I knew and my team knew was pretty much inevitable, just kind of trying to take our time as far as trying to get the right deal done, trying to get something that we were comfortable with. So, I mean, just when we kind of were going through the timeline, it was like, oh, you're more than likely going to get tagged if we don't come to terms before, of course, the tag. But I think the tag was just to continue the contract extension talks.
No, you were right. That's exactly what happened. Jalen Johnson joining us. So they committed to you, but you also committed to them. What makes this situation so appealing to you, and why was this the place that you wanted to be?
Well, for one, I mean, sure, it's home. It's all I know since I was, 21 years old, and I got drafted from Utah coming into Chicago. I think it's definitely something that feels like home. It definitely would have been a big adjustment to switch. I mean, my family, I got my house out there and just kind of moving. So I think for me, one, just wanted to stay where I'm comfortable at, stay where I feel at home is, and Chicago has welcomed me since I came into the building in 2020. The city has welcomed me. So, I mean, just wanted to stay in that environment, but also just kind of seeing what we're building, seeing the direction that we're going in. I think we have a very talented young group, and I think that we can truly build something special. I think we're just trying to get, of course, the right pieces, trying to continue what we have been getting, the right pieces, but continue to add to that, continue to just build with this young core, this young group. We've been getting a lot of new guys. It's a lot of new people, new faces in the building from top to bottom, coaches, players, of course. So just continue to stay hopeful that we can turn this around and get to the playoffs, win our first playoff game in a while. So kind of just looking forward to that and looking forward to building with the guys that I've been working with these past few years.
Jalen Johnson joining us. You know, you're right. There's a lot of new faces. It seems to me you have to make a distinction between turnover and a lot of new faces. Like, for instance, sometimes there's a lot of new faces for a reason, and there's a lot of turnover. But, man, when you've got good, young, exciting talent, you got really bright coaches, you've got things of that nature, that makes it different. There's a lot to look forward to. And you yourself are coming off that great, great year. Shutdown corners are famously out there on the island where you have to believe deeply in yourself and have a short memory. Almost every corner I've ever spoken to on this show over the years believes that they are the very best player in the league at their position. Like, you have to, right? So is that your mindset? And who do you think right now is the best corner in the NFL right now?
And I can't say myself?
Absolutely you can. I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Jim, you know what I'm going to say.
I would be disappointed if you didn't say yourself, Jay.
Yeah, Jim, you were kind of just trying to throw the alley-oop for me to dunk that in so I can see.
You got to finish, man.
Mean, honestly, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you have to believe that, and I think a lot of guys have to believe that. But I think even for myself, I feel like it's one of those things where it's something that you have to display. And I think different guys have different things that they do well. I think you have your guys, more of your cover guys. I think you have more of your ball-hawking guys who kind of take chances, who, in a sense, make a lot of plays on the ball. And I think you have your island guys that go and take away number one wide receivers. And I feel like kind of just trying to have that balance of both, I think, is something that I feel like truly, truly hard to find and something that's hard to do consistently. So I feel like, honestly, there's a lot of talented guys in the league. There's a lot of guys that do things well. I think, of course, just for myself, I feel like I don't think there's no one better to put on an island than myself. And then, of course, adding those turnovers into it, I thought that's only creating separation from the other guys. I mean, if you look at the top guys that play on the island, that follow guys and do things like that, they don't get a lot of interceptions. That's just not what comes with that role. But I think kind of for myself, being able to do both and doing both since I came into the league, I started following guys since my second year in the league. So I think for me, it was never about my coverage ability, being able to match up with top guys. That's always been something that I've displayed. But I think this season, I think kind of made people aware that I can take the ball away too and not just cover, and I can play in zones, I can read offensive concepts and things like that. So I think for me, it's just continuing to add separation, I feel like, in between the question of who the top guys are. So, I mean, just for me, that's what I aim to do.
Now, so I appreciate that. I respect that. And anything less of that from you would have disappointed me. You got to have that mindset. Jalen Johnson joining us. So you're not the only defensive star, though, the team locked up long term. Last offseason, they re-signed linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. They gave defensive end Montez Sweat a new deal after getting him in that trade with the Commanders. So how good does it feel knowing that the organization is that committed to that side of the ball? And these are the types of dudes that you're going to go to battle with for the next few years.
I mean, it feels good. I feel like this one thing, I feel like it's, when you think of Chicago, you think of defense. You think of the top defensive guys. I feel like we've had plenty of talent come in and out of the city of Chicago for a very long time. From the Urlachers to where we're at now. I mean, Khalil Mack was a guy that came in some years ago that changed some things around for the Chicago defense. So I think you kind of just think about Chicago and you think about top defensive guys. You think about having an excellent defense. So I think adding those additions is really in the identity and the DNA of Chicago football. So I think just me being able to evolve as one of those top guys in the league, Tremaine being a top guy in the league, Montez Sweat, TJ, I mean, we're only adding more and more pieces to that. So I think it's really right on track, right on par for what Chicago football is about.
So I got a question for you. There's been a lot of hand-wringing and discussion about Caleb Williams, who probably is coming in as the number one pick, probably, and his alleged fingernail polish, his alleged lip gloss, his alleged pink phone. A bunch of internet warriors are saying, hey, man, that ain't going to play in an NFL locker room. Dude, you're actually in an NFL locker room. You're actually in that NFL locker room. How do you think that will play, and what does play well in NFL locker rooms?
I mean, honestly, I feel like the biggest thing is being yourself. I feel like it's something that everybody can, in a sense, appreciate. Most people can appreciate being authentic, and I think that's something that we all welcome. I mean, we've had plenty of guys that, in a sense, had maybe some different beliefs, or I know I had a friend that I went to the combine with and trained with out of the combine, and he was real earthly, he was real, he was into all of that, and he walked around with no shoes on, and it was like, for us, the first time, it was like, what the hell, like, what you doing, walking like, you don't got shoes on, but
right.
That was who he was, like, that was what he believed in being earthly, he believed in grounding and letting his feet touch the ground and different things like that, so, I mean, for us, it was something that we adjusted to, it was like, okay, that's who he really is, it wasn't like that was something that he just pretended to be or pretended to do, but that was really who he was. So I think just with the whole Caleb thing, I mean, at the end of the day, if he comes in and he's being himself, that's what we're going to, in a sense, embrace. I think for us and everything that's kind of going around, it's like at the end of the day, we're all here to do a job. We all, in a sense, are here to work well with one another. And he has to come in and be his true self. It's not about any pretending or trying to act like you are something, in a sense that you're not. I think it's just really come in here, us learning him learning the locker room, and then us just building truly together and understanding one another and understanding the type of locker room that we have and that we want to build.
I respect that, too. Jalen Johnson joining us. So tell me really quickly, for the offseason, how did you approach it? I mean, how much time was spent working on your game, your body, and then how much maybe was spent working on what's going on above your shoulders? Because that's such an important muscle, too.
Right. I mean, honestly, so far, it's really been all above the shoulders. I mean, you kind of want to let your body rest a little bit, kind of start building your body back up slowly but surely, and then kind of starting to hit those peak work hours. I feel like around this time, April, May, June, July, really starting to push your body to be able to withstand through a long season. But I think really the beginning of the season is really about above the shoulder, just being able to relax your mind, reset your mind, because, I mean, it's a long, stressful, I mean, on your body, on your mind, trying to recommit yourself to 17, 18 weeks. I think it takes a toll on your body, it takes a toll on your mind. So kind of just resetting that first month or two and then slowly but surely starting to bring your body back. But I think for me, it's really what I'm looking forward to is really just building on the thing that I've done this year. I mean, like, I think, again, that I can't say that I'm just changed or that I changed and did this different. That's why I had a good season. I think for me, just staying consistent with my work and staying consistent with who I am and then kind of just building on that, continue to watch film, continue to learn. I think that makes a big difference as well, not only physically but mentally, being able to read the game different, being able to read offenses and what people are trying to do. I think that definitely helps make plays on Sundays as well.
Hey, Jalen, one last thought. You got that new contract. I love your journey. I love your background. I love that you're like Central Cali, Fresno. I love that you went to Utah, and now you're in Chicago. And I can say this about Chicago. The Bears fans have been waiting a long, long time, but I know this about Chicago. If you're a star athlete or you have success, that's like maybe the best town to have success in, man. They love it, and they're so hungry for it, and they treat their athletes so, so well, especially when things are so good. What about Utah? Leave me with this thought. I love that program. How much of where you are and who you are as a man and a player is a result of your time playing ball and going to school at Utah?
Honestly, it's funny. I was just thinking about that the other day, but I think it really played a big role into how I'm programmed. I think kind of going from Fresno, California in high school and being like the man all-star you go to Utah and they don't give a damn about any of that. You got to come in here and you got to conform to the Utah way, the Coach Whittingham way, and I think it's just it created a level of structure. I think in me created a level of work ethic, created a level of intensity that I think kids don't get coming out of college when you go to different programs, programs that aren't like that. I know it's definitely something out there talking, of course, Eddie Jackson about Alabama and their workouts and what Saban instilled and programmed into them. I think it's kind of a few guys that run their programs a certain way, but I think for the most part, coming out of Utah, being taught certain principles, them holding everybody accountable, nobody was ever exempt. And I think that's something that you see in the league, that some people are exempt from being held accountable. Some coaches don't, in a sense, push each other, don't push their players all the time. They kind of just come in a certain way. But I think coming from Utah, for me, that's something that's very foreign. Like, now, if you see a mistake, if somebody's messing up, then that's what you call them out on that. You hold them to the expectation. We push everybody for a certain level of greatness. So I think I'm very appreciative and know that the reason that I am the way I am around the building is because of what was installed in me in college and over those 3 years that I was there.
Dude, Coach Witt, right, man? Coach Witt is the real deal. That's a hell of a coach right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jalen Johnson joining me, and easy to see why he is one of the top players in the league and at his position. Ask my man. He is the best. Jalen, I appreciate you. Congrats on the extension. You earned it. It's always great to chop it up with you. Really appreciate that conversation, and we'll do it again during the year, man.
Yes, sir. Jimmy, have a good one.
Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Jack Savage, I need you up here for a minute. Switch spots with Chalk. Here comes the assassin. I got to touch base with you on something, dude. As you all know, if you're listening, the XR4TI here in studio consists of Alvy, Tommy, Jack Savage in the back row, moving up to the front row. Dude, is it me or were you like, I don't know, 45 minutes late to work this morning?
Yeah, I got caught up a little bit on my way here.
Caught up how?
On the
were you
days.
Killing people or?
Not killing anyone. I was making my normal commute, 5:30 a.m. on the freeway coming down. And all of a sudden, my car starts sputtering a little bit. I'm like, what the hell's going on? It was kind of like, I don't know if anyone's ever ran out of gas. It did not happen to me
today. Dude, did you run out of gas? Is that why you were late?
I did not run out of gas. But that's what it felt like. So I pulled over. I called AAA. I'm on the side of the freeway. I'm like, damn, I might not make it in today. And I should probably really get in today.
All right. So you're kind of dancing around something like the day of all days. I should probably get in today. I mean, I don't even know what's going on. Like, I just want to know why you were so late, Jack Savage. I mean, 45 minutes late. But since you've kind of danced around this sort of thing, that this is not the day you want something like that to happen, what's going on today, dude? Is there something you want to tell me?
Today is my last day on this show.
Wait, dude, you've worked here like 1 week. What do you mean today is the last day? Your last day on this show. What's up?
Yep, this is, you know, the last week was great, but I'm out. Today, bittersweet, but this is it. This is it for me.
All right, so, dude, you started here about a year ago. You came in highly touted, extremely well-educated, great energy, very upbeat. You've put in the time. Was this the plan all along? Use me for a year on the resume, or did something happen and you have this incredible opportunity? What's up, dude? What do you mean you're leaving? What's going on?
Yes. No, I did not come in here just to use all of you and as a stepping stone. Definitely not the case. Coming in here was an opportunity of a lifetime. I had the best year working with all of you. It's been amazing. Really can't say enough great things about all of you. Clones, not so much. A few of them, but
Why, dude? Why? What did the clones ever do to you?
Oh, you know, nothing too crazy, but
nothing good.
Yeah, nothing good. But yes, an opportunity has arisen. I am actually
not good.
Moving to London.
Oh, dude, you're moving to London. Wait, let me guess. You got a job with the BBC. You're going to continue your journalistic career with the BBC.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jim Rome show to London, actually.
No, you're not. You're definitely not doing. I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're not doing that.
No.
All right, so you're moving to London.
Yes, that's moving to the other side of the world is probably the only thing that was going to get me off the show, especially as the show goes to X, which I'm sad that I won't see.
Yeah, bro, you're picking
that.
A good time to leave. Nothing going on here.
Yeah, you know.
So, dude, London. How did London come to be? You know, you don't have to give me all the details, but London, how did that come to be?
Yeah, I visited for the first time last summer, fell in love with it, and something I always kind of just wanted to do was leave this country for a little bit. I never traveled abroad during school or anything, so I knew I just wanted to get out there, and it felt like the time to do it as a young guy, 27 years old, so now's the time.
London is an amazing, amazing place. We love London. The family's gone to London. The kids love London. DJ loves London. I love London. I get it. Listen, Jack, because I think so highly of you and I feel so great about you, if you get there and you think or you find out that it's not what you thought it was and you want to come back and you want to resume what you were doing here, that opportunity will not exist, bro. The locks will be changed. You are not welcome back in the building. You're dead to me, bro. Just kidding. Just kidding. So when do you go to London?
I'm actually out of here in a couple weeks. In about, what's today, the 29th? So in less than 2 weeks, I'm out.
2 weeks!
All right, then. All right, so there's that. That makes it kind of funny. On your very last day in the jungle, you're on the side of the road calling AAA. Way to go out like a boss.
Could barely get in here.
Jack Timid. Way to go out like a boss, man.
Thanks,
at least
man.
You made it in, though. Better late than never. Listen, now, dude, honestly, you have great energy. You were upbeat. You were positive. You came in. You made it better. I wish you all the luck in the world. Enjoy London, and don't be a stranger.
Appreciate it, boss. And, yeah, the best thing about this show going to X, I'll be able to watch it. Easy peasy. Can't wait.
There you go. All right. And you'll be the first guy I've ever blocked. Just kidding, Jack. Jack Savage. All right. He's like, I loved everything about it. I loved working with you guys. It's just, it was all incredible, except the clones. I don't know, dude. You probably don't want to say that on the way out the door, man. They will be, if you thought they were a problem before. All right, so Jack Savage. They can find you in London, bro. Jack Savage taking advantage. He said, look, I'm a young guy. I don't know how many more opportunities I would have to do this in my life. I wanted to go overseas. I never really spent much time traveling abroad. This opportunity presented itself. Bam! I'm bouncing. All right, so, well, that's better than leaving for Monterey Park. London's better than going to Monterey Park to be the director of Parks and Rec or something like that. 12 Wood, first one through. Best wishes, Savage. Don't shoot me, please. All right, so Jack Savage is moving on. There's a member of the XR4TI and an empty seat back there. This one says, we hardly knew ye at Jack Savage. Anyway, if you want your reaction, get up in here. At the Miano Pans Inn, Dasmati thinks that Savage doesn't finish what he started. He lasted longer than Ross. And like I said, at least Jack is going to London. Ross, I think, went to Huntington Park or Monterey Park. One of the parks. Carlin Prescott, I cannot believe Jack Savage is out so quickly. Signed, Robert Dasmati. All right, you've all made that joke already. I hate that thing online where the blogs say, everybody said the same thing about insert whatever. But this is everybody saying the same thing about Jack Savage bouncing. Jamie in Green Bay, good luck at Jack K. Savage on your international assassin endeavors. Yeah, I guess killing people domestically is no longer fun. He had to be a real, real secret agent. All right, there's some news for you. Jack Savage, moving on. Hey, Tommy, don't get any ideas. You too, Albie.
Dude, no.
London does sound nice. London is nice. Have you been, Tommy? London is an amazing place. We love London. So you want to take the show to London? Tom's like, why don't we all move to London? We could, dude, except we've been wiring the studio for the last several weeks. I don't think Vig's going to be very happy about that. Romy. Why is Savage yelling? Your buddy Eric in Orlando. Of course, asking in all caps. Yo, Eric, why are you yelling? Yo, Eric, why are you even hitting me up on X? He wasn't talking about you, Eric. Why are you even communicating with me, Eric? Why are you communicating with me, Eric? Why are you calling me your buddy, Eric? Hey, Rome. The assassin is going 007. Chris in Mobile. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that if he were going 007, I don't think he'd be announcing it to the world. Wouldn't he be a little more stealth if he was going 007? Oh, it's just a cover. This guy writes, yeah, right, Savage. Yeah, right, Savage, quote, never traveled abroad much. Right. Way to keep that cover up. Brad in the 360, cycling degenerate. Here come the tinfoil hats. Here come the conspiracy theories. What is Savage doing? Why is he going to London? Is he even going to London? Did he win the lottery? What's he doing? All right, your thoughts on that. Also, one more thing. This goes back to yesterday when somebody found an XR4Ti MiraCore online for sale. Auction, cars and bids. Hey, Rome, I saw the XR4Ti online, cars and bids. It kind of looked like a cross between an 87 Volvo rear view and a 1975 Chevy Monza front view. So, an ugly-ass car. Surely way faster and more maneuverable than my first car, a 1962 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. Pete in Youngstown. All right, since I mentioned it yesterday, there are 6 days left to bid on that rig. The high bid is now up to $3,400. There are 8 bids and 32 comments. You know, it's either one of the cooler cars of the time, aesthetically, or one of the uglier cars of the time. It really depended on your point of view. Those who knew love that car. That car had a cult following. I knew because I own the car. And hated the car. Loved it at first, but then hated it. But it's always amazing to me. It's like seeing an extinct animal in the wild. Like, oh my God. You know what it's like, the equivalent? It'd be like you walking down the street and seeing a dinosaur. An actual dinosaur. That's how rare AmeriCorps is. So the fact that this guy is putting one up for auction and that it still runs, it would be the equivalent of us walking down the street and seeing any kind of dinosaur or raptor, for real. Something extinct. Believe me, that car should be extinct. There's no way any of those cars should still be running. They only made them for 2 years. That's how bad that car was. And then they shut it down. And yet this dude's got one. And I'm all about it. I'm trying to help him sell it, whoever the hell he is. This guy's got to be like, he probably woke up this morning and then checked in to see if there's any more bids. Because when I saw the car, there was only one bid. And he's got to know, right? Like, car people know. They would have found the car by now. He wakes up. It's like, damn, 32 comments? The bid's up to 3,400? Cool. What happened? 8 bids. Jim Rome. Who's this Jim Rome dude? The dude who's trying to help you sell your car, bro. You're welcome. I'm not even looking for a commish. You're welcome. I hope that thing gets up to 4K. I also like the one disclosure about the mileage. I'm like, no wonder the car still runs. It's low mileage. It's only got like 24,000 miles on it. That's incredible. Oh, wait. The odometer turned over. And from what I can gather, that disclaimer reads like it turned over to zero, meaning the car's got 124 grand on it. $99,999 and then it rolled over to zero, and now it's got like $23,999 or something. All I know is, and I've said it a million times, but it's true. I don't know how that dude got to 99999. Because when I got to 15001, everything went to hell. Good luck with it, bro. That's on Cars and Bids. I get nothing out of it. I didn't actually even know the site until I saw that beautiful car in all its glory. Parading arrogantly down the street. Red, too. Somebody, it's a Rosso Red. One of the comments was, a car! Rome. Nice. Dino in Vegas not only has entered the Tourette's realm, but I have replaced Brian Cox as the I can't wait go-to. Dude, it wasn't Brian Cox. Dino, everything about you is wrong. The way you spelled Tourette's, the way you think that it was Tourette's. It's not Tourette's, it's Tourette's. I have replaced Brian Cox as the I can't wait go-to. Wow, bro. I have replaced Mike Singletary as the I can't wait go-to. Dino, what can't you butcher? Dino, you should be a butcher. You should work in a refrigerated room cutting slabs of beef because you butcher everything. You butcher songs. You butcher references. You butcher takes. You butcher the spelling of words. Is there anything you cannot butcher, Dino? Hey, genius, it's not Brian Cox. Take to your phone and Google it. Damn, Dino, feel good about yourself much? It's incredible. Come on, man. Dude, you're not a go-to for anything except ear hemorrhages. You are not a go-to, Dino. Look what he just said. I have replaced Brian Cox as the I can't wait go-to. Dude, nobody goes to you unless they want cauliflower ear without being an MMA-er. Nobody goes to you, Dino, unless they want to be Van Gogh and have their ears sliced off. Come on, Dino, stop, dude. Tourette's. Hey, Dino, let me tell you something. As long as we're talking ears, Dino, let me share a little story with you. Sorry, update guy. I'll be there in a minute. As long as we're talking about cauliflower ears, Van Gogh ears, ear hemorrhages, let me share a little story with you. And I'm going to break my own rule. One of the rules of the jungle is no bathroom humor. This morning, I try and drink as much water as possible to hydrate. Can't stay out of the cabeza, like all morning long. Go in there, handle my business, knocking out number one. My AirPod drops into the toilet as I'm taking a leak. Even worse than that is it's not the first time it's happened. I've done this before. For whatever reason, AirPods just do not stay in my ear. I'm a big Apple guy and I keep buying them, but they don't stay in my ear. Hey, Rome, then why don't you buy something else? It's way too long a discussion. Just know it went into the toilet. So what do you think I did? Do you think I fished that thing out? Dino, I flushed the toilet with the AirPod in it. I would rather do that. No, you know, I would rather put that urine-soaked AirPod back in my ear than hear even one more note of anything you have to say, music or otherwise. You're not a go-to for anything, Dino. I would rock that urine-soaked AirPod before I listen to one more note of any of your songs or even one more word of any of your takes. Dino, stop it. Dude, I would jam that thing all the way down my ear canal. Even worse, Dino, if I'd gone number two, I still would do it. Stop acting like you're a go-to for anything, Dino. And that's a true story. I did that. Let me tell you something else, Dino. I don't want to get too graphic here, but this is how much you're aggravating me by saying that you're a go-to of something. It could have been the Great Equalizer. And I would still rather put that into my ear than any of your content. Have I made myself clear, Dino? Stop acting like you're a go-to. And stop using Brian Cox as the I can't wait guy. Do you know anything about sports? I know you know nothing about music, Dino. Do you know anything at all about sports? Break. I'm not done yet, Alvin. Don't tell me break. Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Normally that decky, yeah, it's a Friday thing, but when you come off the weekend, and we're coming off of right now, how do you not start the week that way? There is arguably nothing better than the first 4 days of March Madness.
Yeah! Garcia!
Classic madness, and then suddenly a major test for Houston. When you talk about Kelvin Sampson, it's about the culture.
Over time, our kids showed what our culture is about.
I just think everybody should like test on their knowledge of what anybody that tweets.
I'm sure the testing people before they're allowed into the JP would greatly improve the quality of submissions to this program.
Meet at the local Walmart.
Yo.
Brad Underwood's joining us. And whose idea, Brad, was it to break out the Super Soakers?
It was our strength coach, to be honest. He gets all the blame. So we were like a bunch of sixth graders in middle school.
I woke up this morning and I realized there would be no more madness until Thursday. And I thought, Chuck said, boss, you all right?
I'm going to go James Harden, more than 8.5 assists.
Ooh.
And that's a lot of assists.
That is.
I expected it.
Wait until they try to wrap their tiny brains around a hip drop tackle. Good luck enforcing this one, Zebras.
I think you're a little too hard on those guys. I really do. My brother is a ref. If we had robots do all of that, we had nothing to talk about.
My dad played for Wisconsin. My brother played for Michigan.
My man, yeah. I would love to tell you where you stand on that, but I have no freaking idea.
Tell me where I stand on that.
And make it clear that I never bet on sports.
So obviously he wanted to make it very clear. I do not bet on baseball. It's Ipe's fault. Dude, I know you guys were close. I had no idea, though, he had access to your banking information.
Something stinks, man. It's not that smell from that poor toilet that Jeff and Richmond just Oppenheimered after his fifth Taco Bell run.
Rick Barnes.
We were not shooting the ball well, and we got totally away from our game plan. Turned really ugly for us. And since that, our last two games, we've really stayed together.
I didn't get to listen to the portion with Coach Barnes. I hope he shared some secrets with you that he can share with me.
What is X?
The feds need to spend more time investigating Epay. Priorities. Signed, P. Diddy on a plane heading to parts unknown. Where is P. Diddy? We know he's on that G5 somewhere.
Everything that Calipari brings to a program,
it can be fixed. I still believe that he is the guy to fix it. He deserves another chance. Keep Cal, and it's not because he and I go way back. It's because it's the right move. We are joined right now by Tevondre Sweat.
Hey, how you doing? It's an honor. Thank you for having me join.
I am banning Mr.
Porter
for life.
And if, in fact, it is what it looks like, how did he think he could get away with that? Sam Fuller joining us.
Like, you have to turn the page, but it's okay to be a little bitter about the way that the season ended last year, and I think guys use that to fuel them and get them motivated to get to the top of the mountain.
We are joined by the mayor.
Romy, it's opening day again, brother. I love this. I'm so grateful to be on you every opening day, man.
You know, I would have never said that, but I didn't know.
That guy right there, the Greg and Sun Valley dude of coaches right there. Love Bruce.
Come on, man.
That's mad.
They don't sound alike.
Nothing at all.
One's got a voice box.
No more Julio Urias BS and just some diamond gems for Doc Roberts.
What's your beef?
Jera, the only thing you're all in
is your mistress.
People that call into radio shows and say, first time, long time, PG&E, a.k.a. Pacific Bag and Electric.
Ziploc bag technology, which I feel has taken a real step backward in the last decade.
My beef's with high school, Jim. Dropping him off is like running through a vortex of horrible drivers.
Seth Greenberg.
Fan Smack, life is good. Great to hear your voice. This is like a Back to the Future call right here now. Long Beach State is the best job in the Big West.
What are you, the hell are you talking about?
Because if you look at John Shire, remember when they had that storm courting? Our court storming freaking issue.
That storm courting, yeah. You remember that? What we really have to do is put an end to all the storm courting.
F*** you, Brennan. I know you touched my drum set.
No, you know, I would rather put that urine-soaked
toilet bowl
AirPod back in my ear than hear even one more note of anything you have to say, music or otherwise.
And I go, whoa, that's a big word.
Who do you think right now is the best corner in the NFL?
And I can't say myself.
Bro, I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Jim, you know what I'm gonna say. Jim, you were kind of just trying to throw the alley-oop.
It's live action, Tracy.
We're built for March.
Romy, you're the best, bro. Love you, and I'm gonna throw a strike for you tonight, brother.
Ouch, bro.
We go way back to the college days, rookie year days. Always with you there, Jim.
Who would lie about going to UC Riverside?
That's right, I'm out. Girl, love him.
Manic Bloom, yo. Jardavious, sorry, Jardavious in NC.
You already said everything's fixed except that brick.
Just keep smacking. Yeah, let's go.
The Mercore Scorpio.
I had the best year working with all of you. It's been amazing. Really can't say enough great things. Clones, not so much.
Jack Savage.
Gordon.